Hello and welcome back to Box Office Breakdown here on the Popcorn Talk Network. I'm your host, Sarah Stretton, and we're about to talk about a whole lot of numbers.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Box Office Breakdown.
I tried to be cool, and like, I fell in the ocean yesterday.
Really? Where?
In Ventura.
What were you doing there for your birthday?
I fell off.
Really? What were you wearing?
A bathing suit.
Wow. Paddleboard.
Actually, yeah.
Is there any photos around? Or
no, you don't take photos on the ocean with you.
Somebody could.
And no?
Bring a GoPro or something.
You're like in the ocean.
Bring a GoPro.
Like in the water.
Oh, anyway. You should bring a GoPro.
No, I think but now
it was your birthday too. I have gifts for you, but I'll give them to you maybe later, unless you want them now.
Do I want them now?
I don't know.
Do
you
want them later?
Depends. I mean, if you want them now, I'll give them to you.
I feel like no one wants to actually talk about my birthday. If you want to talk about why it's just me here, Sarah, and just you here,
yeah,
Tom. I know. There's only two of us today. It seems to have been a pattern lately.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening.
I don't know either.
The only thing I know is I got a couple of mysterious tweets amongst my many happy birthday.
Well, if
tweets,
you dyed your hair red and wore glasses, maybe somebody would be here. If you dyed your hair red and wore glasses.
Are you saying that I should resemble a certain other lady that I have met?
Maybe. I'm just saying. Maybe that.
You might have to be more specific. I know a few redheads.
Well, it's, you know, her name. Clark W. Griswold.
You're smiling, so how do you feel about this?
Yeah, you know, it is what it is. I mean, we'll see, you know.
That is how cryptic you're taking it.
I'm a loner. I'm a loner, Dottie. I'm a rebel.
Tweets being like, I need to become part of some new team. And I'm like, that's funny. I haven't been approached about anything. Everyone's keeping me out of the loop.
Yeah, obviously on last Thursday's show, stuff went down and it was a little interesting. It was a little blindsidey, you know.
You seem to be fine.
Well, I mean, I'll always be fine. I don't get angry. I've never been angry. I haven't been angry since like 2006, I was angry.
What happened to
The Mets lost.
You were just angry like 2 months ago. You were like heartbroken and sad and tearing up over some certain awards, some certain people.
Oh, yeah, the
people.
Stallone thing. I forgot about that. That was a big, devastating time in my life, obviously.
State.
Yeah, that was tough for me. Hey, I mean, look, you know, it is what it is. You know, some people want the glory.
How does it feel to be like the hero in the situation? I feel like you've been painted
I've never been a hero before.
The bad
I mean, I've been
guy
a hero
for
outside.
So long.
I'm my own hero, but I think ultimately, the chips are going to fall where they may. And that's going to be the fun part about it.
I don't trust the smirk.
I don't lose. I've never lost in my life. Like, I'd lose, like I said last week, I lose some battles, but, you know, I always win the war. That's for damn sure.
Okay.
So, that's
well,
it.
You know that I'm going to try and be a peacemaker on this. I think I'm about to have to be told to take sides. I need to hear from JTE himself.
Yeah, of course. I think you should.
The story.
I think you should.
I'm a little confused. I don't know who exactly to believe. I feel like you're hiding some things. Not that I don't trust you. I just feel like there's another aspect to this story that I haven't heard.
I mean, look, the guy lost two championships in a row. I think he was floundering and maybe got drunk and sent an email that might have not have been where it needed to be sent, you know? That's all I'm saying.
So it's just, it was a not thought out plan. It was just a heat of the moment, probably induced by alcohol or some sort of other.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah? Would that be okay? Would you forgive him then?
I mean, look, you know,
should the world forgive him that's true?
Yeah, I mean, they shouldn't be that hard on him. I mean, I'm from the streets, so I don't play that game. It's just that simple.
I don't make judgments until I hear both sides of the story. But
yeah,
what I do report on is numbers in the box office. We are going to have to get into this. By the way, I was right. My math skills worked last week.
I thought they were very interesting.
I was not 100% right.
Well, you got lucky because of your birthday.
You're not going to give this any of, like, I tried to come up with the numbers.
Well, you did. You did a good job.
All right. Let's go into...
what are you going to do?
I wanted some praise. I wanted a little bit of praise. But we'll get into the top five for the past weekend, which, yes, was my birthday weekend, and I did make it a mission to see a couple of movies, was number five, dropping down... was The Jungle Book in its sixth week, still bringing in $10.9 million. That's only a 36% drop.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had a bunch of newcomers. In number four, right next to The Jungle Book, was The Nice Guys at 11.2.
Mm-hmm.
I did see this movie. I would give it a thumbs up. Then Neighbors 2.
That's a Neighbors big disappointment.
Neighbors 2, Sorority Rising.
It's a big disappointment.
$21.7 million.
I mean, coming from a $49 million predecessor and doing 150 domestic, I would say, look.
I'm pretty sure it's a 55% drop or something along those lines.
It's a big one.
From comparing it to the
Neighbors. I hear it's really
Neighbors.
Funny. I mean, I saw Nice Guys. I thought it was great.
I saw it too. Yeah. I actually really liked it.
It's funny.
It's a little long.
You know it is.
But it is funny.
But I like Russell Crowe in that role. And Gosling was great as well.
They made a very nice pair. Number two, Captain America Civil War, coming in at 32.9, dropping in 54%, which made way for the Angry Birds movie to come in at $38 million and take the mm-hmm. number one spot. Mm-hmm. Remember, Captain America Civil War is only in its third week,
mm-hmm.
and it has lost the number one spot. And
that's a big drop.
There's
from
no chance of regaining
from
it.
From 79 to 33 is a big drop.
And we've had big drops continuously, which is what we said last week. When Captain America came out, and this isn't to discredit the money it's making, it's gotten great reviews, it's a pretty solid movie, but it didn't hit the 200 that everyone thought it was going to make opening weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Then it dropped down not into like the 90s area, but even lower to 70.
True.
And now we're getting down to 32.9. Maybe that's... because we are getting into such a heavy, heavy, packed, full movie mm-hmm. season where every week we are getting these nationwide releases, comedies, all these stars just coming in and out of the box office.
It's the summer movie season almost.
It is.
It's springtime.
It has started.
It's beautiful out.
And it will.
It's beautiful women on the street constantly now. It's bad. I'm having
big
trouble.
It's going to start to affect... it will affect the runs of this movie. We aren't going to see what we saw with, like, Kung Fu Panda 2, where it was the only animated feature in there for a while and just kept bringing in numbers and numbers and numbers. Zootopia bringing in numbers and numbers and numbers. Now movies have a much shorter window
mm-hmm.
to make those large,
well, look,
just
look,
astronomical amounts
well,
of money.
Well, look at Neighbors 2. I mean... you know, it's only a $35 million budget. $21 million opening for a $35 million budget is bad. But considering what the first one did, you know, 21's an issue. I heard it's great. I mean, I heard Chloe Grace
is the
worst part of it. She just doesn't nail the comedic angle
Ooh.
As well as she probably could have. And that's coming from a lot of people like Campy and all those cats too. So
I
it is what it is.
I have not heard that
And the Nice Guys.
Yet.
I mean, 11 is right where I thought it would be. But once mm-hmm. again, Warner Brothers, who I have beef with, they don't know how to market movies. This movie should have made a hell of a lot more than this. You got two good stars. You got Shane Black, and this movie was highly regarded on Rotten Tomatoes and a couple of other things. It's just I don't know what those guys are doing over there. Like I said, they did a shakeup this week for the DC and all these other things. They got bigger problems than that.
Well, there you go.
People say I look like Russell Crowe a little bit. I get it sometimes.
Really?
Yeah, like a young one. Like a young, unbloated Russell Crowe.
I don't see it.
I think it's the mannerisms.
The mannerisms?
Yeah, it's mannerisms.
Almost. I can see it kind of the way you speak.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
I think that's what it is.
But not in like the way you look.
It's just interesting. It's like I look like Russell Crowe in the face, then I have Ryan Gosling's torso, and then I have Oscar Gamble's lower half.
I don't think you're allowed to announce your own doppelgangers.
Like, yeah,
I know.
I can do that.
I don't think you're allowed to just be like, this is who I look like. Like,
yeah, but when you put thoughts into people's... You. No, yeah, I've been told that a couple of times. This girl slept with me on the sole fact the one time that she said I look like Russell Crowe. And she's like, he's my favorite.
And she was, you know, eight drinks in.
Four. But she was
Six.
A lightweight. She was only 90 pounds. She was Asian.
No, so that doesn't count.
It sure does.
I almost said something very inappropriate.
You guys got to look up Oscar Gamble. He's the best.
Oscar Gamble.
Yeah, he's an old player from the 70s on the Yankees.
Well,
he used to
say
walk
the only
a
way you're allowed to have doppelgangers
is
if people tell you you're doppelgangers. So you can check the comments or you can tweet at him his actual
doppelgangers. I don't make up my own nicknames.
I'm saying that I don't think it's Russell Crowe. Well,
I'm Peter Dinklage, too, so like a life-size Peter Dinklage.
He's blonde.
Nah, not for real.
Oh.
Well, I was blonde when I was young, too.
He isn't blonde in one of the X-Men movies, I believe.
Peter Dinklage?
Yeah, he's not blonde in one of the X-Men movies.
He's the dwarf from
Game of Thrones. I know
who he is. He's in X-Men movies?
He's in one of them.
Maybe, I don't know. I don't watch those movies. I don't watch X-Men movies.
Well, then you're going to miss out this upcoming weekend.
I know,
please. But let's get into a little bit of the international numbers, because Fox's X-Men Apocalypse has launched impressively in the international marketplace with $103.3 million in box office havoc from 20,596 screens in 76 markets. And that is, of course, a week ahead of the U.S. opening. So we will be talking about all of that here soon. The launch featured the biggest Fox opening weekend in ever in half a dozen markets, including the Philippines, 4.9 million, India, 3.5 million, Indonesia, 3.1 million, Singapore, 3 million, Thailand, 2.7 million, and Colombia at 1.9 million. So making a lot of money already, or starting to.
Yeah.
Sony's The Angry Birds movie grossed $55.5 million from over 24,000 screens as it expanded into China, South Korea, and seven other new markets. The animated family film has hit $112 million internationally in only 2 weeks.
That's pretty good.
Yes. China led the way with $29.2 million from 12,000 screens, which is 24% of the opening for Zootopia in that market, and the biggest 2016 debut for an imported animated film.
They like birds over there.
Mm-hmm.
And especially angry ones.
We're going to talk about China's box office in just a second, because they are about to have a very crowded summer before they get into when they aren't allowed to show foreign movies. So
that's what it is. Well, Sean Penn has a voice in Angry Birds.
Really?
Yeah. He plays a bird that just fucks people up all day long. Like he does in real life. So it's pretty simple.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Disney's Captain America Civil War came in third on the international chart, pulling in $30.7 million to lift its foreign total to $706 million. It is now time to announce that the temple's worldwide total has hit $1.05 billion. So I'm pretty sure that's first billion to be crossed this year. And is the 19th highest of all time.
Pretty damn good.
South Korea's The Wailing finished fourth with $11.1 million its second weekend, followed by a movie we haven't talked about in a little bit, the Divergent series Allegiant,
that's
with $11 million in six markets to lift that movie's the dystopian drama.
Is there more hours in China?
No, there's just more people.
Yeah, but there's got to be more hours there. I think they run on like a 36-hour time thing or something. I don't know what's going on over there. How are these people seeing all these movies?
Because they have so many people.
Yeah, but they don't. Not all of them. They're working all the time.
Maybe they
like 3.7 billion of the people.
Maybe their theaters are bigger.
There's something going on. I think these numbers are false. I don't know what. I got to do a documentary on this.
Well, things that are unclear in China, there's an article in Variety right now called Hollywood Heads for Crowded June in Chinese Theaters. And some people are saying, like, observers are unclear if the restrictions on Hollywood imports are to last as long as they did last year, when they ran some, like, 6 weeks. Chinese-made films have gotten a powerful start in 2016, especially in February, but they have a ton of stuff coming up. The upcoming Hollywood releases in China, they have Alice Through the Looking Glass, May 27th. X-Men Apocalypse, June 3rd. Warcraft, June 8th. Finding Jory, June 17th.
Jesus.
Independence Day Resurgence, which I guess have already been formatted in something like 3D or whatever. June 24th. Now You See Me 2, June 24th. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, July 2nd. So
these Chinese people are going to be seeing a lot of movies.
That is going to bring in a lot.
Maybe they go see like triple features and stuff like that.
Well, one thing you could do if you're getting a little bit tired of seeing so many movies, because we have a very crowded box office, I'm going to encourage you to maybe try reading a book. Because there are tons of fantastic worlds out there where you can find these new worlds and exciting epic adventures. And I have one that you really should check out. It is a sci-fi super great series. And let me tell you a little bit about it. Imagine if today was the last normal day of your life. Well, that's what happens to Casey Sullivan when she thought she knew what tomorrow would bring, but she was wrong. And they were all wrong. And what happens first is the first wave takes their power, killing 500,000 people. The second wave put that number to shame because there were two tsunamis that destroyed everyone within 100 miles of the ocean. So goodbye, coastal cities. If this was our life, we'd be gone because we're in LA. After the third wave, only the unlucky remained, survivors of a virus that left only 3% of the world still standing. And in the fourth wave, the others, mysterious others, became us, inhuman beings hiding with human faces. So then you get to the dawn of what is the fifth wave, where everyone involved
takes over the world.
But really, yeah. Cassie Sullivan has to decide, do they give up or do they get up and fight? It's only the beginning. In these last days, Earth's remaining survivors need to decide what's more important, saving themselves or saving what makes us human. This comes from Rick Yancey's number one New York Times best-selling novel, The Fifth Wave, introduces us to this group of young people struggling to survive in the aftermath of a catastrophic alien invasion. It has sequels now, The Infinite Sea and the newly released The Last Star. So this is a perfect time to get into this series with this new book on the horizon. Following this series of battles, betrayals, as they fight this ultimate war between life and death, hope and despair, and love and hate. This series has been called by Entertainment Weekly remarkable, not to be missed under any circumstances. And Earthist fans, come on, just read it. And USA Today hails as a modern sci-fi masterpiece. And the best-selling author of The Passage, Justin Cronin, raves in his New York Times book review, calling The Fifth Wave wildly entertaining. So the highly anticipated finale is here. If you knew about this, I'm sure you're excited. If you haven't read this series, go check it out now. It will leave you stunned. You can learn more if you go to about the whole Fifth Wave series at fifthwavebooks.com. So that's fifth with the number 5, thwavebooks.com. Go check it out. Take some time to read. You can't take movies with you to like the beach in the summer. Take a book. I'm telling you, you're going to enjoy it.
Or if you like go to jail or something. People read in jail a lot.
They do read in jail.
Yeah.
You also get really fit in jail.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking about just going to jail just so I could like become more educated. And
do I need to warn JT about something?
And more shredded.
Do I just need to prepare him that's on your horizon?
It's an option. It was an option. Not anymore.
All right.
Yeah.
Maybe we could just have you guys sit down, have a nice book date.
Maybe.
Just nice reading together.
Maybe.
Nice and calm.
Well, there's a big decision
away from the movies for a little bit. But now we'll get back to our normal
The decision's show. On Thursday. It's a big decision.
It's a big day. But until now, I will play our lovely international titles game with you.
Break out the Rosetta Stone, because it's time for the international title game.
Can you acknowledge that you miss his dancing capabilities?
Well, yeah. I mean, that was always fun, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just now.
Remember the good times?
I wonder what it would have been when he was here. He'd probably just be like.
He would have been. No. It would have been. Sending an email. It would have been like, I'm so sorry. He would
maybe.
Just express
I think
this emotion.
Maybe, no. You know, he was. Maybe. Maybe.
I'm trying.
Hey, look, you know, like I said, you know, I've never lost in championships except for the, you know, the Schmoville tag team thing.
You lose to me all the time in this game.
Well, sometimes. But.
You lost me also.
You know, I think he just lost his mind for a little bit. I think he was just so, you know, upset about.
I'll have a talk with him.
Winning the championship that maybe, you know, people make rash decisions all the time. Not me, because I think everything out, but.
I'll have a talk with him.
Right.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into these titles.
Yeah, foreign movie title game from Wang.
Of course.
He's actually in Singapore right now. He's a gum salesman. No, he's selling gum. Illegally, obviously. Four titles,
mm-hmm.
One wrong. Pick it out. We're going with Michael Fassbender.
That is typically how this game goes.
Yeah, we're going with Michael Fassbender.
I love him. Did you know that?
I had a little run-in with his girlfriend the one time.
Alicia?
The black chick. Yeah, the black chick. The one before her.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Yeah, she liked my sweater.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Yeah, it was a good time. She was in shame with him. She's really hot.
He has a new girlfriend.
Yeah, no. He's like, he's on the
movie stars together.
He's on the narrow tip. Well, he was. Is she black?
Do you not know who Alicia Vikander is?
Oh, that's her. That's his girlfriend now?
I'm pretty sure.
She just won an Oscar.
Did I just say this all wrong?
She just won an Oscar.
You can tell me about the titles. I will look up Michael Fassbender's love life.
So Shame. Mm-hmm. Okay. The movie where he showed his genitalia. Mm-hmm. And he was with that hot black chick. Male. Mm-hmm. Sex addiction.
Male sex addiction.
Yeah. I don't suffer from that anymore. Jonah Hex. Scarface. Evil spirits.
Evil spirits.
Okay.
Okay.
Frank. Where he played that like big headed weird singer.
Okay.
Big head singer.
Big head singer.
Big head singer. Blood Creek. It's like an early movie of his.
I'm just going to pick Big Head Singer.
Gaiku, People Howl. Gaiku, People Howl.
What is it?
Oh, Blood Creek.
But what is...
Was it Gaiku?
Yeah.
Gaiku, People Howl.
But what is that?
I don't know what that means. Gaiku is like that insurance company, right?
That's Gaiku.
Oh, yeah.
How do you spell it?
G-U-I-Q-U.
What is that?
No, K-U.
Hold on. I need to Google this word.
Yeah, Gaiku.
How do you spell it?
G-U-I-K-U.
This is research.
Giku.
That is not a real word.
It's a Chinese word.
It's not a real word.
It's a Chinese word.
I think everything that's coming up is like smartphone. Not spelled that way.
It's Gaiku.
I think that's like you like paste it in the ad or something.
No, it's Gaiku People Howl. People Howl.
Okay, fine.
Okay, so back again. Shame. Male sex addiction. Once again, I don't have it anymore. Jonah Hex. Scarface. Evil spirits. Frank. Big head singer. Blood Creek. Gaiku. Or whatever that means.
Some non-existent word.
People Howl. Gaiku, People Howl. I think like Gaiku is for like Chinese for vampire or something.
I'm so obsessed with that word that it's very hard to concentrate on any of the other possibilities.
Gaiku.
I don't want to try and pronounce it because I know I'm UIQ. Probably doing it wrong.
I don't know. Maybe they're signing with
Big Head.
Is that what you think?
Big Head.
Big Head Singer?
Yeah.
Jimbo?
I'm going to go with the same thing because that's my last name is Frank.
You're not supposed to pick the same one.
You know what?
How many times do I have to tell people this?
You guys are right. Big Head Singer is not the right one.
Instincts.
It's interesting, you know. How they call it male sex addiction. Now, how do you say that? Like, what do you do? Like, when you go into movies, like, what are you going to go see? And I'm like, oh, I'm going to go see male sex addiction. Yeah.
It sounds like NC whatever.
Yeah.
NC-17?
Yeah.
Yeah, like a cool
movie. When you Google Michael Fassbender girlfriend, surprisingly, well, Alicia Vikander is up there.
Mm-hmm.
Zoe Kravitz.
Yeah, he was dating her. He was dating her.
And then there's like other things about Jennifer Lawrence.
He dates everybody. Did you see him naked in the movie? He can get any chick he wants.
I mean.
And he was Steve Jobs.
Some very impressive ladies to be
connected. Yeah, this guy's getting every hot chick in the world. He's got to leave some for somebody else.
Talented people.
Yeah, he's a talented guy.
Well, I'm pretty sure he is currently with Alicia Vikander.
It's good for him. She's smoking hot.
Not really sure.
She's really hot. You look like her a little bit. You have like a Alicia Vikander vibe.
I'll take it. She's pretty.
She's very pretty.
If
you did your hair back, you could be Ex Machina.
Maybe tan. You know what? She's pretty tan.
Let's shoot a. I was thinking about shooting Ex Machina 2 in my house. Maybe we'll shoot it at my house. Throw you up in a little. We'll use like aluminum foil.
She's out in the world.
We'll use aluminum foil and then like I don't know. It'd be fun.
All right, getting in it to our top 5 grossing movies. We are going to stick, I believe, with the Michael Fassbender theme and go into his top 5. These moneymakers, or are these just your favorites?
No, these are his moneymakers.
Okay.
But we're only going to use one X-Men.
Of course.
Okay. Number 5 is a fantastic film. I was with a girl a while back when this came out, and she couldn't even watch this movie.
It was
very, very tough on her. 12 Years a Slave.
Oh, that movie made me cry.
She couldn't watch it. She's like, I can't watch this.
It was pretty embarrassing. It was one of those movies I came out of just like sobbing.
She was black too. That was the weird part.
Come out of the theater because she was like destroyed.
Yeah, it was hard for me to watch it with her. Like it wasn't a good decision. I mean, she's, you know, she was black, so it was like, it was tough. Like, she was like, I can't believe this stuff, kind of stuff happened, and it was nuts. It's true. But I like the movie. I mean, it's fantastic.
It's a really good movie.
Oh, fantastic. And Fassbender was, he crushed it. So did what's her name?
I'm surprised that's on his top five list, though. How much money did he make?
$60
million. Okay.
I mean, he's not really...
That was just all because of awards.
Right.
Like, it made that much money just because of awards.
No, it was good. It should have made $100 million.
Yeah, but that's...
It's not for everybody.
It's a very long and tough movie to watch.
It's tough when the homeboy is hanging from the tree draining. For like 3 minutes.
You come out of that movie just fully, like, exhausted. Oh,
you're mentally drained. Yeah. It's a mental and physical drain.
Okay.
Prometheus.
Prometheus.
The Ridley Scott phenomenon, $134 million from Fox in 2012.
I'm really hoping that one of my favorite movies is on this list.
I didn't love this movie. I thought it was okay. Visually stunning, obviously. But, you know, I forgot about it.
What?
I forgot about the movie.
Prometheus?
Yeah, I don't care
about it. Oh, wait, keep going on the list.
Yeah, number four, or number three, Inglourious Basterds.
Wait, is 300 not on this list?
It's number one.
Okay.
Want me to get to it, or what are you going to do? You going to jump the gun here?
I was jumping the gun.
Okay. Inglourious Basterds.
Well, I was just confused.
$138 million in 2009. He was fantastic in this, too. I think this really broke him.
I don't remember him in this movie.
He was one of the generals or whatever. Okay. Decent Tarantino movie. It was okay. Christopher Waltz was the star of that one. We're going to bunch these two together, X-Men Days of Future Past and X-Men First Class. Future Past 241, First Class 156. Never watched them. Don't care. Don't ever will. Nah, it's not my. It's not my alley.
Is that just like full all comic book movies?
Yeah,
or just X-Men.
It's, I don't know what it is. I don't care.
Have you watched any of them?
No. Never played with the toys when I was younger. Never watched the cartoons. I don't care about that.
Don't you like feel like you need to for research?
Nah, I don't need to research anything. Not okay. Especially that.
Okay. You're saving a lot of money. I'll give you that.
Yeah, I buy stuff for you. I'll show you what I bought you. Number one is 300.
Oh, okay.
Which my buddy Michael wrote. Michael Gordon is a good friend of mine.
I love this movie.
It's a fantastic movie. The guy's made tons of money off this. Now he has like Basquiat paintings on his wall. Mm-hmm. He made a ton of money off this. He's a psycho, but he's a pretty
good writer.
Do you
have any crazy stories from why he wrote this movie?
He's a big comic book guy. Big graphic novel guy, like huge. He wrote G.I. Joe too, the first one, but the draft he sent in was way better than the movie itself, but they went along and screwed it up, obviously.
What's your favorite Michael Fassbender movie?
Other ones like... Shame.
Shame?
Yeah. I like when he acts. Jobs is good too. He's
fantastic. I was
going to
say, I really thought Steve Jobs is a very technically well-made movie.
It's beautiful.
It's just very hard to get invested in because
You heard the story 1,000 times. I mean, it's just like, you know, the Kutcher one was out, and you got documentaries all over the place. It's like everybody knows the guy's story.
Yeah.
You can't change it that much.
He's a really interesting person to observe, but it's a hard story to be like, get empathetic about.
Yeah.
So, but it was really just technically made fantastic.
It's Sorkin. It's fantastic stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, 300 was cutting edge, and then a lot of people tried to do all that green screen bullshit and didn't work. You know, and then they had 300, like Rise of the Machines, whatever the fuck it was called. And nobody cared about that either.
And then we'll see him later this year in Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, he's going to be good at that. And the new Alien movie, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know a lot.
Everybody thinks I'm an idiot.
I've never said
kidding,
you were an
I'm
idiot.
Kidding. I'm
do
kidding.
Do not go down.
I like to play the idiot, though.
All right.
Because then, you know, when I prove people wrong, then the punch is a lot harder, you know?
Well, the X-Men movie is coming out in X-Men Apocalypse. Right now, critics are giving it about a 52% on Rotten Tomatoes, which in my mind, it means it's hit or miss. Like it's right in the middle, which means most likely some people love it, some people hate it. Does that get down to one core issue that's the dividing, like no one believes this point? Or is it just... Who knows?
It's a tough movie. I think it'll be fine. I think they introduced new characters. Like I said, I don't care. Mm-hmm. I could see it doing some money. Singer's a great director.
It will do money.
And Kinberg's a good writer.
Much. Yeah. The other X-Men movies, what it's competing against is, I'm not going to include Deadpool, but Number two, X-Men Last Stand, opened to about 102. X-Men Days of Future Past, about 90. X-Men X2, 85. X-Men Origins Wolverine, 85. X-Men First Class, 55. Like, this is our range. So the most recent of those is X-Men Days of Futures Past, which opened at 90,
I believe. And it did 241 total.
Yes.
Domestically.
So we'll see how that affects our X-Men. They're pushing an interesting spin for their marketing, which we normally don't talk too much about. But they X-Men Apocalypse has done a Snapchat kind of marketing scheme. And it's going on today. So it's for 24 hours on May 23rd. Snapchat users in the U.S. will be able to transform themselves into 9 different characters from the Fox sci-fi pick.
The face swap stuff.
Snapchat lenses. And then they can send photos or videos to friends or post them on their story and timelines. And on top of that, through Snapchat, the Snapchat users will be able to swipe to purchase tickets from either Fandango or movietickets.com.
That's interesting.
So very interesting. And I also think pretty smart.
So when people are like in between like sending nudes and doing weird stuff on Snapchat, they'll,
turn themselves into
face
Mystique.
Swap into X-Men. Yeah.
Well, people will do it
naked. Everybody
you just need
it.
Like one of the faces to take off. And
who wants to be that?
Like these lot of people.
A lot of these girls are doing like putting these dog faces on there and these other things like that. I don't like it. It's not working for me. I don't think I'm behind the times. It's just like, send some real pics and nobody wants to see that. Like it was National Nude Pic the other day. I was waiting for a couple of people to send me something, but nobody did.
And so you got some dog pics and you were very disappointed.
Yeah, very.
Also coming out is Alice Through the Looking Glass, which if you weren't swayed by the music video marketing, that's why I mentioned it. You might be engrossed to see this movie because you're a big Disney fan. It has been a long time since the last Alice in Wonderland live action was released, 2010. That movie may open to $116 million, but it's been a while.
This ain't going to make that.
It's not. Although Johnny Depp is, still a star, I don't think Helen Bonham Carter is great. You have some really skilled people in there. I'm not.
Well, it's Alan Rickman's last movie, unfortunately.
Yeah, and it just doesn't have the energy that I think the last one did. Not as many people are talking about it or seem to be as excited about it.
Yeah.
But
it'll do good internationally because they don't know any better.
It'll do it good internationally, and Disney just has a great track record. Looking at Cinderella last year, opening to 67, Maleficent opening to 69. Not so great of numbers when you're looking at The Lone Ranger open to 30, or Oz the Great and Powerful came in at 79. But it's not going to make nothing. It'll make some money.
Make something. I mean, there's a lot of heavy hitters in the top five this week. I mean, this is going to be a very interesting top five.
Do you want to get into it then?
Yeah, I think we can do that.
Some predictions.
I think we can do that.
So to compete with Angry Birds, which only is at 38, shouldn't be too hard.
No, it's a one-shot deal for that.
And then Captain America, Neighbors, Nice Guys, Jungle Book. Let's see where X-Men and Alice Through the Looking Glass will place. I'm guessing number one and number two.
Yes, absolutely. You know, it's tough. I think X-Men can do 50-something. Because Captain America is still taken away from that. There's a lot of other stuff
taken
away from that.
You think X-Men will do 50-something?
Yeah.
You don't think it's going to do more?
I don't think so. I think like 55, 60 maybe, tops.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's going to do the same thing as First Class.
Even after Deadpool came in at like 132.
Yeah, it's not going to do that much.
I mean, it's not going to do that much.
No,
but
it's not.
You're taking like almost two-thirds away.
First Class
that
opened up to, like you said, 50-something, right? What did Days of Futures Past open up to?
Days of Futures Past opened to 90. X-Men Last Stand to 102. You have Jennifer Lawrence in it.
Maybe 65 tops.
Okay.
So you're
saying higher.
I don't think it's going to do that.
Okay.
I think there's too much competition out there.
All right.
Then stupid person through the looking glass.
Alice.
At number two.
Through the looking glass.
I used to date a girl named Alice. Short hair. She's pretty.
Okay.
Probably 50-something. 60-something, maybe. Okay. It's tight.
All right. We're agreeing with it, at least the number one, number two spot. Right. Not agreeing with you on the numbers.
I think you'll see Captain America at number three.
That is the question.
Yeah.
But Captain America has been having very steady drops.
Yeah, but I think it'll drop to like 20-something, and Angry Birds will get into the teens.
Okay.
Yeah. Then Angry Birds, and then I think, you know, Neighbors.
All right. I'm going to agree with you on the top two. Yes, X-Men Apocalypse is obviously going to take the number one spot. Then Alice Through the Looking Glass. I'm actually going to give it to the Angry Birds movie, just because I think so many people are going to be taken away from Captain America to go see X-Men, which has already... I mean, Captain America has been dropping and dropping, having still good reviews, but pretty significant drops.
Sure.
And that's just going to even go more to X-Men Apocalypse. So... the Angry Birds movie, then Captain America, and then we will final it out with Neighbors 2.
Yeah, so, I think Neighbors will hold pretty steady. It's not a terrible movie. I just think it got caught up in the mix. You know? I mean, obviously, Zac Efron's body didn't really pull in this time.
It only has, I believe, let's see, it has a 56 from its audience score. So even though the marketing was trying to say it was like the best comedy of the year, I just don't think that fooled people.
I mean, I liked The Night Before. I thought it was fantastic, and that made no money either.
All right.
That was the best comedy of last year, no questions asked.
Let's get into a little bit. I think we have time for a caller. Maybe they can give us a different top five or some more accurate numbers than you did. Let's see. Do we have a caller on the line? No, we don't.
We don't?
I don't know.
You do, but for some reason, it won't unmute.
Oh, maybe.
You're muted, caller, for some unknown reason. We will give it another couple of seconds to keep on talking.
Am I unmuted right now?
No, yeah, you're unmuted. Good. You're unmuted. Hey, what's up? You're on Box Office. What's up, dude?
What's going on? It's Brian in Miami.
Hey, what's up, Brian in Miami? How you doing, man? How you been? Good.
Let me just throw out a comment, and then I'll get into my top five as well.
Gotcha.
Awesome.
I've been thinking about this, and even with like the Schmoes even talking about it on their show, I mean, don't you feel that there's like some superhero fatigue?
Absolutely, I think there 100%. Is. I think it's just too much. I mean, you know, that word is overused. But it's 100% the truth. Like, it's just like, come on now. Everybody's fighting everybody and then ganging up on each other and do-do-do-do-do. It's like...
there's a little bit of fatigue. The expectations for different movies are becoming like... unless you're doing something groundbreaking in every movie, people are no matter what going to leave disappointed.
Yeah.
And
it's true. But once again, you know, a lot of these people who see these movies are only, you know, they get allowance to go see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people can't come up with the $20 or whatever it is to pay and see these things, you know, consistently or more than once and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, around Christmas time, that's why Star Wars made so much money, because it was just like, you know, it's like 3 weeks of like vacation for everybody in America.
But also that's kind of how the industry works. Things come in cycles, in waves. Like, if it's vampires for a couple of years, then it's superheroes, then it's, you had a whole flux of like westerns, like,
they it's jump the on a train, then you had a bunch of Taken movies, then you had this, then you had horror, then you had that. I mean, it's just the wave of what people do. But yes, that's why I'm going X-Men a little lower, because people are just like, ugh, maybe I'll go see something else this week and give me a week or two to digest Civil War, you know. I don't know. That's what I think.
The only reason why I brought that up is because I had my expectations like very mid for Civil War, but I ended up loving it. Earlier in the year when it came out to like Deadpool in February, and then in Batman versus Superman in March, I mean, it was for me. I mean, like, you know, two movies back to back, you know, on like two different months.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting a little bit tired after watching Deadpool, because Deadpool was just so fantastic.
Yeah, it was different.
And then going into watching Batman versus Superman, I mean, I didn't really have, you know, such high expectations as everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I ended up enjoying it, but then, you know, then after that, it was just like, you know, it's like, okay, you know, gives me time, you know, to breathe a little bit, before mm-hmm. going into watching, you know, Civil War.
True.
And then right after Civil War, I mean, you know, like a few weeks after, we're getting X-Men. And
I know.
Then, you know,
it's a lot. It is a lot.
It's a lot. It's a real lot.
But then it's also, there's the pressure of, like, you kind of have to see movies as soon as they come out, especially movies like this, because everything's going to be spoiled for
right.
you within a week through social media.
Within the first
so,
day.
And
yeah, it's tough. It's a tough situation. Yeah. That's why I don't go see him.
You can just boycott the whole industry.
I'd rather
much.
See nice guys.
But
or
do
the
you
lobster.
Have a what do you have a prediction for how much X-Men's going to make, or do you have a top five for us, or something, or another question for the week?
I have a top five for you. I do agree with both of your lists, but I think that Civil War is going to be like, it's not even going to be at the top five, honestly.
Oh,
I think
you
it's
think
gonna,
it's out?
I think Civil War. I mean, I do agree with a lot of your points. I mean, you know, it's been dropping 40 to 50%.
Yeah.
Honestly,
mm-hmm.
you know,
I think it's been dropping over 50% every week almost.
Right.
I mean, I don't even think that it's going to be making, you know, top five at least.
Hmm.
I mean, I do want to see Nice Guys, you know, get into the top five at least.
Well,
you know,
it's been there.
Really
Nice Guys came in at number four, but if it's only bringing in 11 and you're comparing it to 32, both.
Yeah, it's a tough one, man. I can't see Captain America Civil War jumping out of the top five this week. You know, at the very least, you know, it's going to do like 19. That'll get it. At either four or five, or possibly even three, which I added at. But hey, you could be right.
I don't even think it may even make 19 or 20. I think it'll probably be like at around like 11 or 10 million, honestly.
Wow,
I could see,
cool.
I can actually see it around there. It's at 32 now. If you drop it in,
that's a
I
lot.
Could definitely see
well,
it.
Well, I mean, it is. I get what you're saying, Brian, because 14. Look, you got to look at it this way. It is X-Men Apocalypse, and it's the same audience that goes to see Civil War. I get that. But you never know.
Well, thank you so much, Ryan, mm-hmm. for calling in and talking with us. We always appreciate it.
Thanks, dude.
No problem.
We are going to have to wrap up our show.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a farewell for the week. But thank you for watching us. Thank you for commenting. Thank you for all of your support. And please continue to support the entire Popcorn Talk Network. You can check out other shows, DC Movie News, Marvel News, Disney Movie News. Everything you can talk about for movies, Book Circle Online. They're all great shows.
I mean, you can catch me at Bob Finstock. I ain't going anywhere.
I'm at Sarah_Stratton.
I just can't do Sundays and Mondays. I mean, that's it.
Thank you.
All right.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.